Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Morning to you. Wish I had better news, but we got some discussion today. I promise you that I am not going to get all of my feelings about what happened in San Francisco last night.
I doubt it. That's good. Yeah, you're going to get your feelings, John. You probably will.
I should probably get more. I get frustrated by the fact that every day I come in here, I have to switch the Twitter from dark mode because the people who use Twitter here at night love that. Who likes dark mode?
I have mine on dark mode.
You like dark mode?
Yeah.
I can't read dark mode.
For whatever reason, I don't know how it did it. One day, I switched it over to dark mode, and I was like, hey, I kind of like this better.
I see, and I can't read the white on the black.
See, I read it. I like it like that.
I like the black and the white. Anyway, that was my way of deflecting away from what happened at the bottom of the ninth inning in San Francisco last night.
That was
morning
bad.
Morning to you, by the way.
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. Let me tell you what happened, like, with that game and me. Because you know, as we talk about, it was a late game. Started at 9:45, so I usually get up in the morning and watch the game, you know, just to finish it out or whatever. So I'm watching the game, not knowing the outcome of the game. So we get in the ninth inning. So Luke Jackson's pitching, and you know, Chip Carey's talking about how we're three strikeouts away from winning the game or whatever,
mm-hmm.
And you know. Luke Jackson puts somebody on base, not a big deal. Then the second runner gets on base. Now it gets a little heated. And all of a sudden, John, my DVR is read out of tape, so to speak. And I was like, well, damn, what the hell
are you
doing
extended.
In the game? No, John, this is the thing. This is how I record the games. I'll record the regular time of the game, and then I'll record the post game because I like to see the post game, you know, conversation and everything like
mm-hmm,
that.
Right.
This game ran into the post game. So I didn't see. I had to get up and start reading about how the end of the game happened. And I'm like, darn it, man. And we were just talking about Luke Jackson yesterday and whether or not we were sold on him being in that closer's role. That's a tough one. Last night was a tough one. And, yeah, that was tough.
You know, because there's a lot of different ways you can look at it. The Braves had a 3-1 lead going to the bottom of the ninth. Luke Jackson comes into the game, and promptly San Francisco scores 3 runs and beats the Braves and ends the 4-game win streak. That's bad. That Luke Jackson blew this save and blew this game and this win streak is bad. That the Braves didn't, help him out at all because offensively.
You can look at it a number of different ways. You really can, but I – 3-1, John, going into the ninth.
Yep, you have to have a lockdown guy.
Yeah, you got it. You got to have it. I mean, you know, you got to have that guy. You got to have a guy. That's one that I feel that got away from you. I'm not discouraged. I'm not down on the Braves. But that one last night, that's the one that got away from you.
Yeah, and Julio Teheran deserves better. I mean, he has been that's one thing about Julio. Love him or hate him or be frustrated with him all you want. There is a true fact of Julio if you've watched his career in Atlanta, if you've been, you know, here since he first showed up. There had been no more hard luck pitcher in the Braves than Julio Teheran for lack of support. I mean, the Braves got 11 hits last night, 10 of which were singles, and only one extra base hit. This is the night after, of course, they hit 3 bombs against San Francisco, but they didn't get, again, that clutch hitting thing that happened at the beginning of the year. So Braves lose 4-3 to San Francisco. Max Fried will be on the mound tonight against Jeff Samardzija. Man, I it's almost like you forget. Oh, yeah, he's still around? It was a time where Jeff Samardzija was maybe the most valued. I wonder if he made the right career choice because, you know, he was going to be a top 20 pick, wasn't he, a tight end in the NFL? Mm-hmm. You would think, coming out of Notre Dame.
I think he did. You know, when you're talking about career longevity.
Yeah, he probably
I wish I could have been a DH. I think about that a lot lately. I'm like, wow, that would have been a pretty cool job to have and play. I'd have probably just been retiring like a couple years ago. I'd probably been like 6 years removed from retirement if I was a designated
hitter. And I always thought designated hitter would be a boring job.
To go out there, not have to actually play a position and just hit dingers all day?
Sit there for an hour and wait to hit?
And eat sunflower seeds and chew bubble gum and get paid? Basically, I'd be
Big
Poppy.
Well, it's the getting paid part. Does
it look boring for Big Poppy?
No.
All right, dear. I mean, he just retired, what, a couple years ago? No, yeah, I could have been a DH.
Yeah, but I played baseball to junior college. I don't think I could have. I mean, when you're getting paid, it's a different story, all right? I get that. But, I mean, when I was good, you know, through high school and into JUCO, I wanted to play. I mean.
I just hate that I didn't have the patience to stay with it. You know how everybody, like, that's everybody's first sport when you're a little kid?
Right.
It's baseball.
Of course.
And we've all.
Well, maybe. Like, not of course. Maybe now it's soccer. But
okay, maybe.
In our era.
Maybe. But in our era, it was baseball. And I just remember vividly going out there. And you could tell the kids that were going to probably gravitate more towards it because they were more into it. Because, you know, you put some little kids in the outfield, man, they're playing in the grass, they're looking at the trees. I mean, at a young age. You have little Timmy and little Jimmy out there trying to hit the ball. They're playing their position. They're trying to, you know, use a cutoff. Like, they're really into it. I hate that I was that guy. And I'm like, man, this is so boring.
You were picking grass.
Yeah, I was out there playing in the grass.
Yeah, so was my
and the
daughter.
Ball, yeah, the ball go back. Like, get the ball,
and I was
you.
Into it.
Huh? Yeah.
And I was into it at a little age.
Yeah.
But it just seems to me, I mean, I wanted to be, to me, playing baseball is playing defense. That's when you're playing.
Yeah, but it's so much, like, this for me, this was what it was. When I found out later on, it's so many nuances that go into playing each position. That, you know, you don't really see if you're a layman when it comes to watching baseball, that I wish I would have learned that. But when you're young and you think the game is one way and that's the way that you think about it, you're not going to go back to it. And that was it for me.
It is a Wednesday morning, and I don't have to tell you this because I think you know. Do you know that yesterday – welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh. Do you know that yesterday the Colorado Rockies were snowed out?
Yeah.
Snowed out of their game in Denver. Today here in Atlanta, like 92, I think next Tuesday, it's going to be right at 100 degrees. So whatever's going on in the weather pattern right now, this is why you're having all those bad storms throughout the Midwest, because on the other side, the hot and cold,
and
we are
together, stuck
in this hot, man. It is a heat wave here. So it's going to be another hot day in Atlanta, so a lot to get into over the next 4 hours. Be cool and safe on your drive around town today. The Braves losing a heart wrencher last night, 4-3 to the San Francisco Giants, blowing a lead in the bottom of the ninth inning. And now we'll see Max Fried try and get him back on track tonight at Pac Bell Park. Hawks had some news yesterday. Trey Young named a unanimous first-team all-rookie team. If he had been anything but unanimous, I would have had a problem with the vote, Hugh. I mean, because even if he doesn't win Rookie of the Year, I think he ought to be co-Rookie of the Year. But he and Luka ought to have been unanimous, right?
Unanimous first team rookie.
First team, rookie team.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. But if they wouldn't have been unanimous, they still would have been rookie of the year. I mean, rookie team.
I know, but it's like, really? I mean, who wouldn't vote for Trae Young or Luka Doncic?
You have some out there that would probably do that. I mean, this is what I've always been told, John. Common sense is not common. So you're trying to think about it like everybody thinks the same way that you do. Everybody has common sense. That's not the case.
Okay,
that's not always the case.
Right, we're talking about writers. You're
right.
You're
because somebody, there is a writer out there that could, if you see one thing, they could give you a different take on it and be grounded and be dug in as far as their beliefs. So, don't do that.
All right, so get this, which is interesting. There are two interesting notes about the NBA's all-rookie team that came out yesterday, notwithstanding Luka and Trey both being unanimous. The five, because it's, five guys, right, on the all-rookie team. The five guys on the first team, there's two teams, first team, second team. On the first team, the five guys are the top five picks from the draft last year. In other words, the top five picks, nobody missed.
Yeah. Somebody got, they did their homework and they got it right.
Mm-hmm.
They did their homework and got it right.
Then the second interesting thing is, on the second team, there's a guy that was picked number 19 in the draft, but he makes the top 10, essentially, Kevin Huerter.
Yeah, that's the one. A lot of people are talking about how, you know, Kevin Huerter was a guy this year that was a real pleasant surprise for the Atlanta Hawks.
Yep.
And the way that he came on. That for me, just reinforces what I feel about Travis Link and his ability to get the right players for this team. Now, granted, yesterday when we were talking to him, he said that with that eighth pick, he was a little, but I just look at it as another opportunity for him to work his magic. And another thing, John, when you listen to him talk, you have to kind of pick apart what he was saying, because he said, remember when he said he's going to find it interesting to see how many stories are told to deflect, you know, what teams are actually trying to do? So I'm kind of wondering if Trav is kind of doing the same thing by saying he was kind of disappointed with that eighth pick.
Mm-hmm.
You got to kind of read between the, like, you know, Trav has been keeping it real with us for a while.
That's right.
You
told me yesterday. You could lie to us.
You got to kind of read between the lines with Trav, man.
Well,
you got to kind of, you know, you got to kind of pick apart and figure it out on your own.
And you can kind of read between the lines too a little bit to kind of turn that around. When I said to Trav yesterday, Travis Schlenk, during the interview that we had, and we'll play a portion of that for you at 6:40. Not this part of it, but a portion of it. At the end of the interview, I said, it's okay, you can lie to us. And he's like, I'm not going to lie to you guys. And I said, no, just lie to everybody else, and you're just on the air here. Is that that's kind of the way Thomas Dimitroff did use us. I mean, it wasn't a lie, but Thomas did a little bit of disinformation.
Well,
it was okay. It's fine by me.
Well, he told us that normally that's not what they like as far as offensive linemen was
twice.
Concerned. Yeah.
Twice he did it.
But I don't think it was a lie. I think the situation was fluid with the offensive linemen, and they were a lot better this year. That's probably what it was. I think I give him that, as opposed to saying he just flat out lied.
No,
I'm
not saying he's lying. I don't. And by the way,
I know you don't think he's lying.
Thomas didn't lie to us. He gave us his honest opinion, which is he said, I prefer free agents to you know, signing rookie offensive linemen for these reasons. And to the degree that turned into a little bit of fake right, go left in the draft, if that's the case, I don't have a problem with it. It just the two number one picks he took work out. You know, that's
better,
all I'm saying.
They better,
you know,
work out.
They work out.
I think you're a little bit worried about Thomas and Mitchell having smoke with you in case when you go up the flowery branch, like, yo,
no,
John,
I heard
you called me a liar.
I
What's
didn't
up
call
with
you
that?
A liar.
What's up with that?
No, I would say, Thomas, you did say to us twice on the air that you didn't like the idea of drafting offensive linemen, and then you took two in the first round, and I'm okay with that as long as it works. Just tell me it's going to work, and you and I are good. That's all I care about. And really, that would be the case whether you told me that or not. It's got to work. One other note from the NBA last night, Toronto beats Milwaukee, beat them by 18 points.
That's the game they had to have.
Even with Kawhi not playing, you know, at 100%.
Yeah, we were talking about it. In the bullpen yesterday, game they had to have. They had to have that game if they wanted to stay alive. Because if they didn't,
yeah, it was over.
Just kiss the baby.
And the Golden State Warriors are the ones benefiting from this, because Toronto and Milwaukee are 2-2, and Golden State is done and chilling with their feet up. And they may have another week or so before they have to even consider getting back onto the basketball court for a game. All right, the Braves. I have a little bit of clarity after what happened last night, and it involves another general manager, this time the Braves GM. I'll tell you what that is as we continue the morning show with John and Hugh after a CBS Sports Update and Boomer Esiason.
It just seemed like a lot of the hits were on his breaking ball, and it just wasn't quite, it didn't have the depth tonight as it normally does. You know, and they found the holes. I mean, it's, you know, to a couple of feet with Pabo, and, you know, game's over. You know, they put some good at bats on him. I mean, they were tough. They were two strike hits, and they did a good job.
Yeah, Luke Jackson didn't get it done last night. That was Brian Snicker talking about how Luke Jackson got touched up for three runs in the bottom of the ninth inning. And yes, a lot of it was rinky-dink stuff and stolen bases and advancing and small ball stuff. But the Giants were able to small ball three runs at the bottom of the ninth and beat the Braves 4-3 and end the Braves four-game win streak. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And yes, maybe that wasn't all on Luke Jackson. It wasn't like he came in and gave up home run, and they lose. But it was still a case where you didn't have a dominant closer who could come in and just slam the door shut.
Yeah, and then, you know, you had McCann, you know, come to the mound and try to calm him down a little bit, and you thought that would probably help. That was not the case. And it's just unfortunate that, you know, when you talk about being in this race, that – games like that might be the deciding factor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get when fans say, well, you know, you got to win these games because you'll look back at the end of the, you know, when we get down to the wire, And you say, well, we should have had that game and had that game. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. That was one last night that we should have had.
Right, even though the Braves offense, 11 hits last night, 10 of which were singles, and only 2 for 8 with runners in scoring position. And, you know, but that should have been enough. 3-1 lead going to the bottom of the ninth. You've got to get that done.
You can nitpick about all that all you want against a lineup that has struggled to hit. You're talking about when you're talking about San Francisco, they've struggled to hit as of late. So to have it go down the way that it did, that's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. That's very, very unfortunate.
404-741-0929. Of course, that's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line as well. And, of course, at 929 The Game on Twitter. A lot of ways to be part of the show today as we go through the program. Here's the thing. This is where Alex Anthopoulos has to know, and I'm sure he does. They have tried reworking this bullpen, and they have what was the stat from the opening game yesterday of the series where they had the graphic up, Hugh. Eight members of the bullpen to start the year, 6 of whom are gone, and only 2 of whom remain.
Still a work in progress.
Still a work in progress. But we are past the point. We're getting to game 50 here, close to game 50.
Mm-hmm.
We are past the point of, work in progress here. We're starting to get into the race.
Yeah, we are. And it's unfortunate. That's the thing, John. It's unfortunate that last night, that's the effort that we got from Luke Jackson. But at the same time, when you talk about the rotation of the bullpen and things of that nature and how many people have been in there and been out of there, can't throw the guy away.
Oh, no. I'm not throwing Luke Jackson away.
No, I'm not saying you are. I'm not saying you are.
Right.
But you can't, because there are probably some that feel like, that you tend to, not you, but people tend to push the panic button, panic mode, when things like that don't go your way.
Well, and I don't have a problem with giving Sean Newcomb a chance to be a closer. I don't have a problem with giving Webb another shot at being the closer. And, again, it's closer. We said it was bullpen by audition, and they've sort of settled down in the bullpen by audition at the moment to your primary bullpen guys, Tukey, Newcomb, Webb, Winkler, Jackson, your primary bullpen guys by audition. And now you have to do a closer by audition, and maybe you give Webb and maybe even give Newcomb, maybe even give Tukey a chance to be a bit of a closer. But here's where it's on Alex Anthopoulos. If it comes to pass that you have an opportunity to get Craig Kimbrell, we're not going to let this go, Hugh.
Nah.
We're not. We're 10 days away. If you have an opportunity to get him and you don't get him, and he comes back to either haunt you by not getting him or haunt you directly by going to someplace like Milwaukee and beating you in the playoffs or something like that, this is where you cannot allow yourself to be, this is where you're going to be judged, is what you do for that bullpen. Because we know that the lineup is fine, right? The lineup has got pop in it, and it's got a lot of bats. We know defensively they're fine. We see Freed pitching tonight. And Soroka, and again, Julio's just getting bad luck right now. Julio deserved that win last night. He just did.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate thing about it, and that's the frustrating thing about it, because you look at that. You look at the way that game went down. To come down to the wire like that, you're talking about 3 strikeouts, or three outs would have gotten you that win. Easy. You're watching, and you're like, easy, that should be easy. And it's not. It's not easy. I understand that it's not easy, but it's when you see the way that the game kind of just went last night, it's very, very frustrating to see that. And not only that, John, you're talking about Craig Kimbrell. There's a lot of people calling for Craig Kimbrell, because you're talking about last night with the Phillies. Their closer had a little bit of a struggle. So the Phillies are even talking about calling for Craig Kimbrell. So his number, like, a lot of people are starting to look, and they're starting to call for Craig Kimbrell.
Right, and that's the other thing I was about to mention. You're right, because you're ahead of me. Juan Nicasio last night for the Phillies blew the save against the Cubs in the bottom of the ninth inning. Braves didn't lose any ground, because the same thing that happened, well, what was more frustrating to the Braves is they had already known that the Phillies had blown a lead in Chicago in the bottom of the ninth inning and let the Cubs come back and beat them. And here was a perfect opportunity to slam the door shut and make it a 1.5-game lead, and they couldn't take advantage of it. So you're right. The Philadelphia Phillies bullpen is having all sorts of issues.
Everybody's like I'm just looking at the trend. One of the trending topics this morning is Craig Kimbrell.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point that he's going to get a lot of phone calls. But this is the thing, John. Craig Kimbrell is probably going to be sitting in the catbird seat now, because when you're talking about, especially when you're talking about in the East and the needs for the teams in the East, you're talking about the Phillies, and a lot of people feel the consensus was yesterday that the Phillies are the team to beat in the East. So now, with them needing a closer and us looking like we're going to need one, it might become a bidding war.
And the Minnesota Twins.
Yes.
And this is why now you're going to start getting me ramped up at 6:28 in the
morning.
Don't
do that. Okay. Don't do that, John.
A month ago, I said you cannot sit around here and worry about whether or not you're going to lose a draft pick. You know, go ahead and sign him now. I mean, there was no reason not a month ago. Because if you had said him a month ago, guess what? He would have been in this game last night. And, by the way, nobody would be talking about him going to the Phillies or the Twins.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And he is the hot name right now because they're talking about I was looking at some of the stats. In five, when he starts, he has – they were saying something about he has 14 saves, and I forgot when it was. But anyway, the bottom line is this, is that everybody – he has the 14th most saves, in MLB history. That's what it was.
Yeah, and John Smoltz came on our show at the beginning of the year and said, if you sign Craig Kimbrell, I guarantee you a World Series win in the next 5 years.
Yeah, you stuck on that one, huh?
Well, he's John Smoltz.
In the next 5 years? Who's to say that Craig Kimbrell's going to pitch for the next five? Just saying. Not disrespecting Smoltz because he is an MLB Hall of Famer, but – you know, that those are some lofty expectations. It's still one of those situations, John.
My point is, Hugh, it doesn't matter whether people say, well, it may not work. I don't care if it works. You have to at least try, Hugh. You know what I mean?
It's the reason why he's sitting out there, too, though. But we're up against it a little bit. We're getting up against it a little bit. And then when you see performances like you had last night, again, don't want to throw Luke Jackson away, but I am starting to understand why. When I wake up in the morning, my timeline is filled with, we need to sign Craig Kimbrell. I understand that. But at the same time, you got to look at what's going on in Major League Baseball. He's not signed for a reason. Like, and now when you're talking about the length of him not being on a roster, how effective is he really going to be?
I guess to me it's a great point about, you know, what your mindset is. We saw, and this is all credit to John Hart and John Coppola. We went through, as Braves fans, three pretty bad seasons, right? And we went through three pretty bad seasons with the hope that when we did have these youngsters, the Acunas and the Freeds and the Sorokas and all these guys bubble up, the Newcomb, well, Newcomb came in a trade, Tukey and all these guys start to bubble up through the system, Austin Riley, and start to become players in Major League Baseball, that when that time came, that we would be less concerned, as I am, about the long-term future and more concerned about the near-term future. I mean, I'm not really concerned about what happens 10 years from now. I am concerned about what happens over the next, say, you know, 8 years. Well, okay, let me rephrase that. These guys are so young, we could have a 10-year run, and that run is open. That window has started now. So let's go start trying to win now and not worry about 2032 or something like that.
No, but I think that they're looking at these young guys, and the cream, you know the old saying, the cream always rises to the top. They're waiting for somebody to emerge. They're waiting for somebody to emerge because you still have a lot of young arms that you're still trying to figure out where they best fit right for you right now.
Which is fine, but nobody has emerged from the minor league system as a closer. I mean, Riley, the guys who emerged as starters.
Maybe it might be Sean Newcomb.
Well, no, I understand. No, I understand what you're saying.
You're talking about emerged as a true closer.
Through double A, through triple A.
Maybe it's Sean Newcomb.
And maybe it is, but that we're back to closer by audition, which is a difficult place for me to be, considering that we're nearly 50 games into the year. And this is something that could have been resolved maybe a little bit earlier in the season or even in spring training.
And not only that, you know, because I listen to Andy Randy every day, and they had Brian Jordan on yesterday, and he even alluded to the fact that, you know, audition is over. Now you kind of are who you are. But I guess the only, you know, comfort that you can get in this whole situation is that the Phillies are kind of in the same boat that we're in as far as the closer situation is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to figure it out as well.
Right.
But, the biggest fear for me is if the Phillies pull the trigger and go and get Craig Kimbrell, what the conversation is going to switch, and it's going to be pandemonium here in Atlanta if they decide to do that.
Right, and then all you can hope is it doesn't work, and then people will come back at you in August and say,
Douglas, I told you we should have got that Kimbrell guy.
Or the people who are going to say, no, he was too expensive. I was right.
But see, that's the thing you're weighing it against now, yeah, John. Because
but I would rather try and fail than not try.
But that's the thing we're weighing it against now, because if he's the hot name, he's going to command a lot more money now. He's going to command a lot more money.
which is why we should have made the move a month ago, but that's just me.
You're still in a situation where you're spending a ton of bread, though.
Again, I don't care about the money. There's no salary cap. Not my money. Liberty's making plenty.
It's not your money.
Liberty's making plenty of cap. Well, it is my money, actually. I think about it. It's my tax money that bought you that stadium.
I knew you were going to go with that. I don't even know why I walked into that one.
Hey, dude who got burned by a dragon is mad about something else. All right, you got to hear this. Aaron Rodgers going off next on Sports Radio 92 on the game. All right, there's memes out there. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh. There's memes out there after the end of Game of Thrones about redoing finishes, and they have like pictures of the Falcons and of the Saints and of Tua Tagovailoa and redoing finishes that people weren't happy with. It's like, man, everybody's slamming. They're using this Game of Thrones. Everybody's using it to slam everybody right now. Aaron Rodgers was on the was it the final episode or the next?
No,
to last?
It was like the. Third, the fourth, was it the fourth? No, it was the fifth, the second to last, yeah, the fifth.
So Aaron Rodgers was on there. He was on there for 3 whole seconds running down a breezeway and then ducking into a building before he got burnt to a crackly crisp.
Still didn't recognize him, but they say it was him, but it didn't look like him, but still.
But so he makes a 3-second appearance before dying in the show. And then he's cornered yesterday by the media in Wisconsin and talked about the ending of game. They said, hey, Aaron, what did you think of the ending of Game of Thrones?
I think Danny should have been on the throne. Here's the thing, though. Here's my last theory about it. If Bran, the three-eyed raven, who's, you know, all about the health of the realm, let's think about what he did. He basically wanted the throne the whole time because he's the one that told the Starks, knowing that Sansa would tell Tyrion, knowing that Tyrion would talk to Varys, knowing they'd scheme for Dany's death, knowing that would f*** her off, which led her to be the Mad Queen. So he, the entire time, kind of set this whole thing up, and at the end he goes, oh yeah, no, I don't want to be king. Oh, but why did I travel all this way to be here?
What do you think?
I mean, that make a lot of sense, though, because you know what's funny about people that watch Game of Thrones, because we've all had a chance to commiserate with one another, is that comment that he made, that Bran made, was telling. Because Bran kind of knew, like Bran had the vision to see the future and how things could play out, and Aaron's not wrong, and I think that's why people are mad, because he kind of like he was being passive aggressive. I don't want to be the king. Why you think I came here? Because I want to be the king. It was like John, when you look at some of the stuff that happened in key episodes that was not as crisp as it has been in the past, it makes you think that they just got tired of doing the episode. The French manicured nails that the Daenerys had, that's a problem.
The water bottle?
The water bottle is a problem.
The coffee cup.
The coffee cup was funny at first, but then you started to see a pattern in the last season. I bet you could probably go back and look at some of the episodes, the first episodes throughout the sixth in this last season, and you could probably find a lot of other stuff that was not consistent.
It says to me that the cast and crew was tired, sick, and tired, and they were exhausted, and they made a lot of little silly mistakes.
No, and they alluded to that. They said that, you know, with that 11-day, was it 11-day, Oren? The 11-day, the White Walker scene, Night's Fall or whatever, the 55 days of shooting. And then even when you watch the at the end they say, well, how we made this episode or whatever, they even talk about how they cut corners to make the bodies look like they were a whole bunch of different bodies and everything. They started, like, at one point they were using like dummies and put the bodies all over the place, and they said, but that became too tiresome for everybody, so they just started like using spray painted like cast of bodies and just started moving around strategically on the set. So that to me says that after a while they just got tired of shooting. They're like, hey man, let's just hurry and get this over.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what it was.
There was one more from Rodgers. What did he say here? He's speaking Greek to me.
He come down to the inn and Tyrion says, the person with the best story is Bran. Who, by the way, 3 episodes ago said he wasn't Bran Stark anymore. No, Jon had a better story. Dany had a better story. Arya had a better story. Sansa had a better story. Tyrion had a better story. Varys had a better story. Braun, a lot better story. Jaime, better story. Cersei, probably better stories. Any Baratheon, better story.
He got a point.
Dragon, I mean, better story.
Because it was like, okay, you're talking about the Bronn the Broken, a guy who fell out a window and wasn't supposed to survive. But to his point, during the episode, I didn't think it was a bad story because think about his journey. He went across the wall. He couldn't walk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he learned to, like, they said he would never walk again, but he would learn to fly.
Okay.
It was one of those things, Johnson. Oh, whatever you're talking about, Hugh Douglas. But no, seriously, anybody that watches the episode knows exactly.
Talk to the people who watch.
Yeah,
I wish I had, but.
But, John, he makes a valid point.
Uh-huh.
I don't have a problem with Bronn's story. I don't have a problem with him being a king. My biggest problem with the episode in the series this last season was it felt like nobody cared as much as they did in the previous 7 seasons. That's my biggest problem with it. Outside of the first episode, and even probably that one when I go back and look at it, because we were so excited to have Game of Thrones back that we were all in. And as they progressed and as they started to tell the stories and the White Walkers got closer, you had questions like when they showed the symbol and everybody was talking about, what does the symbol mean? Still don't know what the symbol means. And I know a lot of people are going to chime in and say, well, they told you what the symbol meant. No, what did it mean to the White Walkers? We knew what it meant to the little people, the little green folks. Why were the White Walkers using the symbol? So there's a lot of stuff that happened in this last season that made me feel like they just got tired of doing the show.
All right, well, they got Game of Thrones. So Aaron Rodgers, just don't get burnt to a crackly crisp in the NFL season. That's all I'm saying, okay? For the Green Bay Packers. I want to get this one call in because David Lawrence has been hanging on, wants to make a point about the Braves and what we've been talking about with the closers. Hey, David.
Dave.
What's going on, Phil?
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Doing good. Hey, now you got me wanting to talk about Game of Thrones a little bit, but what I was originally calling in for was I think we need to kind of slow our roll on the Luke Jackson thing. I mean, he's been on fire lately, and look, we hit up Pater the other night, one of the best closers in baseball. It happens. So, yeah, I mean, you know, no doubt we have some bullpen issues when we can't figure out we're sending guys down, we're bringing them back up, you know, trying to figure out who's playing what role. But as far as Luke Jackson goes, I'm okay with him staying where he's at. And
okay, that's
I'm not sure.
Go ahead. I'm not sure
I'm not sure that who knows what Kimbrel is even going to come back, what kind of condition he's going to come back in. I mean, there was a reason that the Red Sox didn't retain him.
Yeah, that was money. He wanted $100 million.
Yeah.
And he's not wrong. All I can tell you is the stat. Atlanta and blown save and save percentage, which is saves versus opportunities versus blown saves, the Braves are 25th in the major leagues, 25th.
Mm-hmm.
And not a number that's going to work for me. That is not a number.
And that's the thing, John. And you're talking about Craig Kimbrel sitting out there and knowing what he's at one point was capable of doing. That's going to always be one of those conversations that's going to be had. Even when Jarenovich was on with us the other day, we were chopping it up about that. It's one of those things, man, where we don't know where he is as far as his his ability to pitch or how good a shape he's in. But he's always going to be talked about because he's out there.
Hey, David Lawrenceville might be right. I mean, maybe Luke Jackson, maybe they don't make a move and we're sitting around after the World Series and Luke Jackson's the dominant closer in Major League Baseball. Maybe he is. We can't know this, but my body of work so far, I'm still going.
You know, the unfortunate thing about baseball and being a closer is that when you're out there by yourself. And if you don't have it that night, then it's a tough night for you. You know what I mean? It's one of those nights. If you don't have it, you don't have it.
Right.
It's a rough night for you.
I want my closer to have a save percentage like 85 to 90% certainty, you know? Not, what is it, 61%. That's the total bullpen. Hey, you can join 92 on the game this week, Friday at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Dukes of Bell broadcast live 2 to 7. Great way to start your holiday weekend. It is a holiday weekend this weekend. With Dukes and Bell, 2-7 at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Oh, no, another Falcon has missed a day of OTAs. Oh, my God, who now? Next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.